Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It's Thursday. We're counting down to Sunday. Falcons, Carolina, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. Pre-game at 11, kicks at 1, guys. And today, by the way, Mike, injury update. Couple of news notes here with our Falcons.
Darnell Mooney was a full participant today.
Yeah, he's gone from, at least on the fantasy leagues, from questionable to healthy. Which sounds really intriguing because I think, you know, he has been more questionable the first 2 weeks than he has been more healthy. Either way, the big one I think is Kyle Pitts. Toe, limited participant.
Toe?
Yeah. And look, that doesn't mean he's not going to play or he's not ready. We said this about James Pierce Jr., who was also limited participant.
Garoin.
But coach told us yesterday, just a maintenance thing. He'll be out there tomorrow. Tomorrow was today, and he was out there. So I don't think, Mike, all of these are concerns, but here's the guys that did not participate, including cornerback A.J. Terrell. He did not participate today. Neither did corner Mike Ford. He's got a groin. So when you talk about who may or may not be out there, and by the way, they list Charlie Warner has an ankle. He was not a participant today.
Right. So that's a guy that, you know, use in short yardage or, you know, we can talk about, you know, as far as pass route running, not really more of a helping out on the line. We'll see how Pitts can impact because I've been calling for more Pitts. I could have used more Pitts.
More Pitts.
You know, especially in the red zone. Want to see this team kind of really, you know, that's the only thing. The only thing, if there's something missing through two games is, you know, that Bijan provides the explosive plays, the home run ball.
Right.
But just the scoring in the red zone. Other than when Michael Penix scrambled for that score, we only got 3 touchdowns right now through 2 games. That's what I want to see.
All right, before we get into something some of you may or may not want, and I want it, why are you concerned about this spread? You think this is a sucker thing, don't you?
Well, I mean, when I just mentioned 3 offensive touchdowns through 2 games, and you're a 5.5-point favorite on the road. That's a bit rich for me, but as we pointed out, we went back and we went forensically through what the Panthers have done. It was a lackluster game against Jacksonville to start the season, and then they were down 3 scores against Arizona. So there was a bunch of scores in the fourth quarter, I should say, which don't really tell the whole story. So if you just look at the stat sheet, wow, Bryce Young had a big day, but it was garbage time catch-up.
Garbage time. I think our defense does a job. They're missing 2 starting offensive linemen. If we can't take advantage of that, then we're not as good as we thought we were.
And maybe that's where Vegas is at right now.
And look, I'm not telling you it's going to be 40-3. It'd be great, but I also think that the way this game potentially plays out, and we're going to give you our official picks tomorrow, by the way, here on the show, is, Mike, if we get up, just like with Arizona last week, now you're forcing Bryce Young to throw the ball way more than he wants to, and we can pin our ears back, and here come more sacks. Here come more turnovers. That's the formula that I could see playing out in this game. Maybe early it's tight. We get up a couple of touchdowns, and then all of a sudden they got to try to get back into it, and that is a recipe for disaster, as it was last week for them.
Right, but it is kind of interesting for me, just a 5.5-point spread with a team that put 38 on us in our building in regulation, then goes to overtime, and they beat us. And you're telling me that we're going to go up there and score a bunch. Now, again, unless you say strip sack and we're going to get, you know, maybe
turnovers.
Pick 6.
Turnovers.
That would look good. Look good on Billy Bowman's resume. But, yeah, a 5.5-point spread. The over-under we talked about earlier is hanging at 48. No, check that. Down to 44.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay.
Low scoring.
So, yeah, that sounds like so 24-17 we cover.
And they don't score 20. That's where I'm at. Hey, man, do you want national recognition? Do you like it when our team gets nationally recognized?
No, I want to be under the radar. I don't want them to see us coming.
Well, look, I feel like, and this is just me, for the last 7 years we've been on the radar. We hadn't played in the playoffs. For all the hype with Kirk Cousins last year, it didn't accumulate to anything. It didn't lead us anywhere except for controversy. I don't mind people around the country now starting to recognize what we are telling you and what we've been saying to you guys about, hey, we got some talent. And if these guys play up to their capability, we may be doing some things. I want you to hear Dominique Foxworth talk about the Falcons along with Mina Kimes. These are two separate cuts, but this is them just discussing, Mike, hey, 2 weeks in, and they're talking about our defense.
Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. Victorious.
It's the defense the first couple weeks, and like all the rookies that they have that are playing incredibly well, Pierce and Walker, like their impact on the game is noticeable. I did not anticipate this defense being as good as it has been in the first 2 weeks. So that's really what jumps out to me, the impact that they've had, because you're not supposed to win a game when your quarterback plays the way that Michael Penix played, and their red zone efficiency was all field goals. They gave him a touchdown at the end. It's just like a hard way to win. The defense got it done.
Yeah, the defense is the story. The defense is where they invested. The defense has been what has dragged this team down for years. And through two games, they've looked pretty damn good, obviously, most notably getting after the quarterback. Yes, some of that had to do with J.J. McCarthy holding on to the football too long and some issues on the Vikings offensive line. But I thought they also looked pretty damn good week one. And it's been different players, too. I think that's what's kind of cool is, like, biggest question with the Falcons defense is kind of just been who's going to emerge, who's going to step up. They've put so much draft capital into not just edge this year, but prior defensive line. Right now, it feels like a team effort, and they're finding ways to get different guys one-on-ones, and different guys are winning up front. What we've always said about this team is, like, you don't have to be the purple people eaters out there. We just want you to make quarterbacks slightly uncomfortable, and it looks like your 2 weeks, they have the capability to do that.
That's the conversation.
Thank you, Mina. She gets us.
She does. That's the conversation that's being had. That's good for us. And I don't want to run from if we are going to be good from being great. We need to embrace that. And if this defense is like we think, guys, and Mike said, we're going to throw around nicknames and have fun with these guys, because that's what good defenses do. They create an aura about it that it's energy of its own, Mike. You can't describe like the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. When you start getting to these defenses that just made a difference and an impact, it creates its own energy.
Right.
I hope we're going there. I don't know, in first season of a lot of these rookie guys, I don't know if we're going. But, man, that's good to hear nationally that people are recognizing this.
Now, this game we won't have. I mean, I'm just of the opinion we're not going to see A.J. Terrell out there. He did not participate today. The hamstring seemed like it was pretty severe. Teddy Roa McMillan, their draft pick, is averaging 15 yards a catch. So you better get that pressure. Yeah, you better get that pressure from the front seven. Conversely, Xavier Leggett, who everybody loves for his like old school, low country rap, he's got 2 yards per catch. He's been a big disappointment to start the season. And we talked about Bryce Young padding the stats in the comeback, which came up short against Arizona. Hey, man, let's hope we get after it. They got Derek Brown. We're familiar with his work, our offensive line. We talked with, again, the interview with Jake Matthews about some of the new pieces that Carolina added. But, you know, the more we talk about it and hearing Mina Kimes, and, you know, all of a sudden I'm feeling, I don't know, maybe you and I are both going to jump on this at 5.5?
I'm telling you. I
get it now before it gets to 6.
Well, that's the thing. It could, because as we get close to the weekend, people are going to be like, oh, well, they're down a couple of linemen. There are things we're talking about that, again, people around the country may not, but as you get closer to Sunday afternoon, more people are like, oh, well, maybe they do cover this. I just feel like we're better than 6 points than them. I just feel that.
Now, Penix Jr., we've talked about, you know, the safeties. Now, I heard Randy Mack talk about it. Arch kind of hinted this on Tuesday, that maybe Carolina with their secondary decides to maybe go a little bit more man-to-man. And if they go man-to-man, all of a sudden some of the things we've been trying to do in the passing game, maybe that starts to work for us, because we've seen teams go with two high safeties.
Yes.
Maybe they're going to try to do you stop the run and make him beat you, Penix Jr., based on what? Because some DCs might feel that way.
Look, if I'm playing the Falcons, and if I'm Carolina, I cannot get gashed like I saw the Minnesota Vikings do. Then I'm going to tell you, yes, I know Penix is dangerous, but I'd rather him make those throws in those coverage situations than knowing that we're about to get 150 or 200 yards put up on us, Mike. That's just too much. So you got to pick it now. You got to go into this game and say, what are you going to do? You're going to try to make Penix beat you with his arm, which I think is probably the idea. But I said this to you guys earlier. They play a lot of cover three, which means there's going to be a lot of stuff in front, not deep, but in front of Michael Penix that he can hit. We can pick up 10, 15 yards, Mike, because they want to keep everything in front of him. At least that's how they've been playing. And so if you play that way, We can dink and dunk all day, and Penix will still have 250, 275 yards, may have two touchdowns. Or you can say, you know what, we're going to stuff the run, and we're going to do more man-to-man. That's just not been their philosophy.
J.C. Horn's got one pick on the season already. And the other corner, Mike Jackson, according to ESPN, has got two pass defenses. But again, if Mooney's back to being 100%, I just think our wide receivers have looked lackluster because they're not 100, and that makes Penix look a little funky. Arch talked about maybe crisper route running in the red zone.
Yeah.
But, you know,
doesn't that make you feel good, though, that we've been able to do this without our guys being 100%?
But I would say if I'm Zach Robinson, if we can run the ball the way we did against Minnesota, then just keep running it. You know, because the screen pass, that put us behind schedule, the drop screen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, look, the unfortunately, Drake fumbling with that punch-out strip. You know, that might have been another score. But, man, I think if we can get the passing game in the red zone on track, then all of a sudden you're feeling unbelievable about this team. And now maybe we're talking about 3-1 through the first four games.
And that would feel really good. I want you to hear James Pierce. By the way, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about the questions Mike and I were talking about as we get ready to face Alabama. That'll be next Saturday. Dogs and Bama both don't play on Saturday. James Pierce spoke to the media today. Mike, he was talking about how dangerous and violent this game is.
We try to play together as a family. I feel like that's the way we're going to get the best out of each other. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it is out there, us relying on each other. You feel me? It's bullets flying, mama watching. You get what I'm saying? It's a dangerous game. So
right.
He got to have my back like he my brother. You know what I'm saying? And the bond and the connection and the time we spend together helps it.
He's talking about the relationships, and he expounded on this, talking about why teammates' relationships matter. This is James Pierce Jr., by the way, picked up his first career sack last week. So did Jalen Walker. We expect more of that this week and continue to build.
It's everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see him. It's just a different way to give each other your all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just look at your brother, know where he's going on, where he at in life, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Look, I like this kid, man. I didn't know what to expect. I do. Yeah. I like him.
We talked about him the first day we had him on. I think it was he was overwhelmed by the first day.
Good call.
The TV.
Good call.
All the press conferences, etc. And now we've subsequently talked to him at practice, off mic. And he's this guy's bringing it. Players love him. Coaching staff loves him. Jalen Walker, we all knew he was ready to go. And then, like, the vicious, see, that's the thing, the viciousness. When Jalen Walker throws McCarthy, I probably watched that 10 times. When Jalen Walker comes zipping down the side, hoo-ah, and just throws McCarthy down, we knocked out their running back and their quarterback the next couple of days. Vikings are banged up, man. By the way, for guys that are saying on the text line, don't do it, Mike and Carl. Falcons have just a 40% win rate against the spread the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Last 2 years, now some of this is Arthur Smith, 10 wins and 24 losses against the spread.
Yeah. I get
you. But maybe
they
were changing. We'll change that narrative.
I get all that. But I go week to week. I can't get caught up in the last 5 years. I understand that history. All those guys you're talking about are no longer here.
Hey, this is dangerous. This is new stuff, Carl. We're going to get that quarterback on the ground right here.
All right, man. We'll see. We got to talk to Mike Griffith when we come back. Did Georgia answer enough questions after their win against Tennessee to contend for a national title? We'll ask Mike that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How long are you going to debate betting this game? More on that coming up. We've been going round and round on this one.
Would you answer me? Guys are hitting me up and they're going, don't do it.
Now, Falcons' money line is the play. The spread is probably not the play. More on that coming up.
All right. AJ, thanks for the
advice. You answer me.
Let's talk to Mike Griffith. Dog Nation. Mike Griffith, man. We got so many questions, brother. Did Georgia answer enough questions to say they are a team that should be contending for the national title after what we saw at Tennessee in your mind?
Yeah, but the issue is there's about 15 teams like that right now. I mean, there's so many
You know, the one question you ask is has the Big Ten elevated? They bought up some of the best players in the SEC. I mean, Ohio State won a national title with Alabama safety, and now they got a former Alabama quarterback. So has the Big Ten moved ahead, and they don't play the schedule, right? So does Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, because they're in the Big Ten, because they're not going to play the attrition, they're not going to play the games that the SEC is going to play, they're not going to play the four-quarter games, they're not going to play the level of competition, they're not at risk for loss week to week. All you got to do is look at the top 25. We got 11 SEC teams in there. That's a lot of potential teams that can knock you off. So the Big Ten, I think, has an inherent advantage when it comes to the playoffs. Right now, in perfect world, even. But by the end of the year, these SEC teams getting beat down, right? Because they got to play four-quarter games. They can't develop depth. Guys get hurt. But, yes, in terms of the national championship competition, for sure. And because everybody's growing with this transfer portal now, it's a season of development. And it's all about just making the playoffs. We got to get rid of the old mentality, right?
Right.
It's not the top two teams, not the top four teams. Hey, just survive. Just make it to the playoff. And then it's who's best in the playoff. So, yes, I think so, because I think Georgia's a playoff team.
We'll get to the defense and the pass rush in a second. But, I mean, Kirby made the comment that Gunner kind of grew up. We talked about, you know, big moments, neutral site. But, I mean, there's nothing tougher than kneeling. I know that fourth down throw will live forever, Mike. But how impressed were you with his effort?
Well, yeah. I mean, hell yeah, he grew up. I mean, he completed a 28-yard touchdown pass on fourth down with 102,000 people in his ear on national television in his first world start. Okay, that's the grit, the poise, the gumption that Kirby has seen in this kid. Same with London Humphreys. I mean, you know, Georgia gets his transfer from Vanderbilt. We're like, what the heck? You need somebody to help them with their studies or something? No, he can play. Really, he can. This guy right here, he looks like he ought to be selling cookies or something, you know? No, he's a player. London Humphreys is the real deal, folks. You saw it. You saw the catch. What's amazing, Kirby said they didn't even practice that route together. He doesn't even know if London has ever even run that route with Gunner. And you're like, and that's it. And credit Bobo. Hey, man, it's 4th and 7. We're all thinking they're going for the first down. Tennessee's thinking it, too. They're guarding the sticks. Kirby says, go over the top. Mm. Boom. Or Bobo says that. Let's give credit where due. There's been a lot of questions about Mike Bobo. And he called a hell of a game. 4th and 3, first quarter, conversion. Do you know Georgia's 5 of 5 on fourth down conversions? That's play calling, guys. First play in overtime, 25-yard line. Trots out a run, playing a shift they haven't seen the whole game. Georgia's been keeping it up their sleeve for the right moment. Boom, springing on him, 21 yards. Mike Bobo. Give credit where it's due. He built an offense around Gunner's skill set. But this is what we have to realize. This is what Gunner can do. There's things Gunner can't do. And other teams now have that book. Notre Dame had that book. But now, look, this guy can throw a fade. He can throw a fade on you now. He can put it in a bucket. Can't throw the laser over the middle. Can't put it in a tight window. You're not going to take those chances if you're Kirby anyway. Two-thirds of Georgia's pass yardage came after the catch. That tells you short, controlled passing game. Defenses creep up. They squeeze you. Every now and then he's going to have to hit a deep one. Keep him honest. Scrambling ability. Gunner's learning, hey, you ain't going to beat these SEC linebackers to the sideline. You're going to have to scramble a little different. You need to step up through the pocket, hit the honey spot in the middle of the field. So, yes, a ton of growth. Most importantly, the teammates now. Okay, because if we're being honest, he was the quarterback when they beat Texas.
Right.
He didn't carry him in the second half against Longhorns. Threw an interception that could have cost him. Fumbled. He didn't carry him against Notre Dame. He didn't look good in the G-Day game. He was inconsistent. Kirby questioned his decision-making. And in the first two games, he didn't have a chance to look good because they didn't do anything. Now the teammates know, man, Gunner's a dog. He's going to come through. So he has his teammates' confidence now. That is the biggest thing that came out of this, is that his teammates know he's not going to fold under pressure. Because that's a moment. You guys know it. That moment, that oil painting moment, that throw – that is, you know, there's going to be people talking to Gunner Stockton about that until the day they put him in a casket. They're going to remember that play. That was a moment in Georgia football history to win the 9th game in a row in the series on the road. So huge in that capacity. Yes, he took a big, big step.
Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Dogs and Bama next week. Can Georgia's secondary avoid giving up those plays that they gave up against Tennessee, against Alabama? Does that scare you a little bit with the wide receivers that Bama has?
Well, it scares me with the type of coverage you're trying to play. I mean, if you're going to isolate guys one-on-one, number one, you better have a pass rush. You know, they only sacked Aguilar once. I'm just as concerned about that. first of all, the other team's got to have time to throw that route, right? And if he's got time to set up and throw a 45 yards downfield, somebody's not getting home in time. So the pass rush works together with the secondary. So, yeah, we know you're going to hang these guys out on islands. And when you do that, sometimes they're going to get beat. And let's face it, I don't know about you. I'm going to admit, I'm a college football writer. I'm supposed to be an expert. I didn't know who the hell Chris Razzle was before that game. Oh, he some transfer from Tulane. Oh, that's nice. That's from Tulane? That monster? Is he related to Randy Moss? I mean, good God, he's 6'5". He runs like the wind. He jumps 36 inches. That guy's a dude, man. So let's give a little credit there. Tennessee had some players now. I'll be honest. I didn't know about that cat, man. He wasn't on the preseason All-SEC team I saw. So that's part of it, is give them credit. Aguilar threw a good ball. Let's give credit where credit due. That's how you got to beat Georgia. How many other teams are going to have a quarterback that, A, is going to have the time to throw, B, can make that throw, C, have a receiver that can high point the ball over those DBs? So give credit where it's due. Yes, Kirby's going to play an aggressive defense. Yes, Ryan Williams is going to test him. He tore him up last year. And, yes, they have to get better. But remember, guys, 54% of this roster, first- or second-year players, 54% of this roster had never stepped foot in Neyland Stadium for a football game.
That's a great point.
And that's their opener, right? And that's their first road game. And you're playing a hurry-up offense. So not only are you taking a test, you're taking a time test. Nobody else is going to press you like that to be lined up right.
It's a Mike Griffith, guys, from Dog Nation. We'd love to get him on each week, talk about the Dogs, get his take. Chris Cole's got the 2 sacks. The sacks are coming from the linebacker core. So to your point about Alabama, I mean, does Kirby continue to get aggressive with blitzes? Or, I mean, is the solution on this roster, or are they going to have to gimmick it?
You know, you got to mix it up. I mean, you know, zone blitzes, not just all-out blitzes and taking chance, but zone blitzes, simulated pressure. Remember, they took the movement away. Remember that pre-snap movement that we used to see? You can't do that anymore. That was a weapon in Georgia's arsenal. They were very good at that shift right before the snap. They can't do that anymore. So that's part of this, too. That was one of the things Georgia did well. Yes, to answer your question, they're going to have to find a way to get pressure, and they're going to need to get better play in the trenches. Now, Christian Miller did his job. Griffin's a freshman. I think he did fine. But what are these other guys? Is Jordan Hall going to play the Devontae Wyatt to Jordan Davis? Is he going to be that dude? How about Xavier McLeod? Is he ready to do that yet? Like, you got to find a solid D-line that can handle those run gaps, because Tennessee was cutting some runs, too, now. Can those linebackers that are as experienced as they're, can they cover? You know, that was a question. There was a lot of green grass, and part of that's the Tennessee offense and the way they spread you. But think about this. In the 3 previous games against Tennessee, the Vols didn't score more than 17 points, and they didn't have a quarterback throw for more than 200 yards. Joey Aguilar did that in the first quarter. So how much of that is Tennessee being that much better versus Georgia? Mm-hmm. Not quite as good.
Mike, where are you at? Mike Griffith joining us. Where are you at on some Georgia fans saying we should have a blackout game for next week against Alabama? Mike and I discussed this. Where are you at on the blackout thing?
I wouldn't do it.
Thank you.
I don't think you need any distraction. You know, to me, that's, you know, Kirby pulled, you know, remember when Kirby pulled that stop out? I'll remind you. They had just lost to Florida. It was 2020, the COVID year. It was the first time in 3 years that Georgia played a football game where they did not control their postseason destiny. In other words, their season was out of their hands. Now that Florida beat them, they needed Florida to lose. It wasn't going to happen. So everybody's dapper's down. And if you remember that night, they couldn't run the ball in Mississippi State. The team was not playing well. The team needed something. Thank God JT Daniels arrived and threw for 400 yards, because it wasn't happening. So the blackout jersey was Kirby recognizing that his team needed something. You know, something, because these coaches are, you know, they can figure out how the locker room's going. Right. Everybody's dapper's down. You've lost this big game. Richie LeCount's out after a motorcycle injury. Jordan Davis has got the elbow. 2 of your leaders aren't playing. You just lost. You're coming home. You're playing a ho-hum opponent. What's Kirby going to do to bring some juice? There's no 20,000 fans in the stands. So he pulls out the black jerseys, right? He got to do something. The players want it. Okay, guys, if this will make you play hard, get excited. Mm-hmm. Sort of worked. So I think it's a drastic measure, and I think it's a necessary measure. And when you've got a brand like Georgia, why go away? You're going to see the Dallas Cowboys wear blackout jerseys, really? The Green Bay Packers.
I mean,
it's iconic. New York Yankees.
It's iconic.
That's it. And when you beat Alabama, Don't you want the pictures of that win over Alabama to be in a uniform you recognize?
For sure. For sure. It's a great point.
My argument for
no,
it.
Look, right on. And Mike, it makes a great point. It's something we debated today in our pre-show meeting, and we were discussing it. We brought it to the show today, and Dawg fans are chiming in.
No gimmicks.
Hey, man, appreciate you as always. Enjoy the – I don't even know if this is a week off. Are you chilling this weekend? Or what are you doing this weekend?
I'm watching football, guys. You know, we got that AGCSports.com, how the top 25 should look. I do a breakdown on all the teams, rank the SEC teams. I mean, right now it's a mess. You know, there's four or five teams right now. Pick two out of a hat. They could be in the SEC chain. You know, is it LSU? You know, is it Ole Miss? How about Texas A&M just went on the road at Notre Dame?
Sure.
Hey, break up Vanderbilt, 31-7 on the road at South Carolina. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, they beat Alabama last year, too. So I'm just saying there's a lot of really good football teams, and it's very very NFL-like in the SEC right now.
You know why? Because it just means more.
Mike Griffin, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, guys, reminder, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for college football, live college football coverage. This Saturday, 8 a.m., we get the day started, college football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. And then Saturday night, we got Miami taking on Florida, Mike. You like Florida in that game? Follow.
Well, actually, in that game, I root for an asteroid to hit the stadium.
That game's going to be followed by the Atlanta United match, guys. So that's Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got more. Stay right there.
Hey, Carl's
got
to make a decision about tonight's pick.
What do you mean?
Come on, man. Step up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight we got Thursday Night Football. I see Turtle in the house, and he's got a bridge show for you coming up, and then we'll get into Thursday Night Football.
He's not going to be playing bridge, but he'll take you to the game.
Yeah. By the way, were you a bridge player? Did you play bridge?
My grandma, she played Mahjong.
Yeah.
I ever played in college, I learned at my friends at FAMU was spades.
Spades. No,
and I'm the worst poker player because I bluff too much.
No, spades is where it's at. I'm not a bridge player to all you bridge folks out there if you still play bridge. I don't know. It was not my game. Day-Day, you ever play bridge? You're not a bridge dude, right? Spades? Man, we've been saying this.
You got to have partners for bridge. You know, you got to have like four people at least.
We should, and I say this, Dave Ashburn, everybody involved, we should do a Dukes and Bell Spades tournament, man.
They're not ready for that, Carl.
What you mean?
The level of security we going to need, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Security?
Just saying, man.
Come on, man. Just slap them down and get up out of there. That's not what
the first time somebody either underbids or what, Carl. They do the what move.
No, you're right. All right, so what about an Uno?
The security
Dukes and Bell Uno contest.
The security worse, Carl.
Orrin is right. The security concerns will be very expensive.
Uno the same
a lot
thing,
of off-duty
Carl.
APD.
What rules are we playing on Uno? Are we playing the standard? You know,
yes, we're playing the standard.
We're not playing doubles and triples. We're not playing stacks. How are we playing it, Carl?
Right.
I'm
what
just
was
saying.
The hotel? What was the hotel that was going to do Uno for like a month?
They were doing Uno clubs. It was a couple clubs in Vegas.
That's right.
Yeah, a couple spots in Vegas. No, remember Julio back in the day? Everything was the Hard Knocks in 2014. He's like,
you try to play cards.
Like, and that's how you play spades. Because you got to smack it down.
Hit,
it was
man.
So damn
you try
funny.
You got to play cards.
No, listen, you're telling me we're going to have security concerns? Our listeners aren't those folks.
Spades with our audience will get sideways in 3, 2, 1.
Just saying, Carl.
All right, fine.
I don't want to be on the
news. Just throw that out of the window.
I don't want to be on the news for some stuff that happened at a spades tournament at Stars and Strikes in Roswell.
Yeah. Right. Tonight at 11, a spades tournament turns deadly.
Okay, would you stop? This is ridiculous. We're talking about cards, man.
Next thing you know, they got your old headshots up there, too. Both of your old headshots come up in the picture.
These two, apparently.
Bunch of detectives outside the parking lot. You don't want that. You know, we don't need that smoke.
Who was it a few years ago? We went to his Uno contest or his Uno.
Camp Bazemore.
Right, it was so much fun. We did it down at the art museum, man. And it was a classy event. He did a really good job.
See, that's why he did it at an art museum.
What do you say? We can't. Well, this is metal. Why I said sales.
He's going to host it at the high.
He has metal.
Turn him at the high.
What if we get metal detectors?
Oh, Mike, wait a minute. Why are we projecting our listeners? People are coming in loaded. What's going on here?
I ain't saying that.
We're talking about cards.
I'm just saying spades gets bad, man.
And by the way, we had people getting hot for the paper football tournament back in the day.
You ever see the old Bernie Mac routine we talked about playing Uno?
Yes.
And reverse, skip, draw four.
Right.
That's what it's going to be like, Carl. That's what it's going to be
Come on, man. Lose with class and dignity.
Not in spades, bro. No, not in spades.
Look, I got to tell you.
You only gave me 12 cards.
That's right. Family disputes, I will say, and I can testify to that.
Cards.
Real talk. I will say that.
I cursed my grandma when I was like 8 over some dominoes. Like, no, we're not doing that.
Okay, so you know what? Let's do a dominoes tournament.
I just cursed my grandma when I was 8 playing dominoes.
We can't do anything? Wait a minute.
We can get Bob Raff. You know what? We get Bob Raff to host the spades tournament.
We can do foosball.
I'm going to bet 6 tricks to win this hand.
There you go. We can play foosball, Carl. We can play paper football.
Yeah. Nothing else?
That's it.
I don't believe you guys.
All right, man.
That's it. That's the most unifying game we can play.
We got to find it. We got to find a way to get this done.
Get spades, right, man.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And next thing you know, we're at the World Congress Center.
I'm just saying it, man.
300 groups.
And we need to have wine and cheese at this thing, Carl. Hosted in an art gallery.
No,
yes.
You know who's going to host it for us?
Who?
Divine Diablo.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. We should invite him.
Hey, man. Tonight, speaking of stuff you can gamble on, Thursday Night Football. Real quick, my wife just hit me up on the text line. She's got Waddle. I said, don't start him. He's a game time decision with that shoulder.
I don't trust him.
He's been low in his fantasy league.
Low points.
Fun numbles. Not so fun for the fish, but. Josh Allen, 12-2 in his career against the Dolphins.
He owns
him. He's lit him up. Meanwhile, James Cook expected to have a big night tonight. But injury report for the Bills on defense, and this maybe gives some hope for Dolphin fans. For what it's worth, the linebacker core is thin. Matt Milano is out with a pec. Ed Oliver is out with an ankle.
Mm.
Taron Johnson is questionable in the secondary. Shaq Thompson dealing with a hamstring. So they're missing some pieces on defense. But 12, it's 12 and a half in some books already.
That's a lot. It's
Buffalo's
a lot.
Laying 12. But the money line is no value because it's like 8-1. It's like you got to put down like 820 to win 100 right now.
Yeah. Look, Miami's playing for their lives. They really are. You go 0-3, guys, you know how difficult it is to try to make the playoffs. So they desperately need this one. What's up, Day-Day? What do you mean? On this game?
11 and a half is the lowest right now. I'm
looking you're getting
right
in now. On this?
It's 11 and a half. It's 12 in some books right now.
Yeah. Oh! Right.
Oh, Day-Day.
You're going Bills to cover 11 and a half tonight.
Wow. Dr. Love going with the Bills on a Thursday night.
So you don't think Miami's any good, huh?
Somebody getting fired.
Coach Bruh. Now, do I wear culottes in Buffalo, by the way?
Yeah. You know
I want to see the...
Oh, did he really?
Dude. I mean, I tell you what, man. I read the Herald every day. I'm just so over that guy.
Oh, he's getting killed down
and
there,
they talk
right?
about there's no culture. There's having a toughness and a vibe. I mean, but without some of those pieces on defense, yeah, I'm still like, 12 is rich. 10, I'd jump all over it.
It is.
But Day-Day's taking it.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, we got you down.
He's giving 11 and
we'll
a half.
Give you our official picks tomorrow.
So you're not going to – you talked about this game all day. You're not going to bet it?
What are you trying to – why are you trying to goat me into this like last week when I – you're not going to take Green Bay? And
no,
I was like, all right, fine.
No, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
I like Buffalo. Well, I don't like Buffalo with that number.
All right, and the over-under on this
What's the over-under?
Is, maybe 50. Buffalo might get to 50 on them by themselves. 20, but it, well, again, 25. Why does it always go out to 27, 24 when I do this? 50 and a half always seems to. But, yeah, the over, but the Miami's got to score at least 2 touchdowns to get that over. Yeah, I'm going to stay away.
Okay.
I'm going to touch it.
All right, fair enough.
There's consumer news you can use.
Day-Day, you've got it. I want to remind you guys, join the morning shift tomorrow, guys. McDonald's on Northside Drive. right here in the ATL for a special Friday morning broadcast. We've been joking all week if Bo's working the grill, but go by and get breakfast with Allie, Mike, and Bo, guys, and get ready for a big weekend of college and professional football tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m., McDonald's on Northside. So if you're working down there, you're making your way, maybe you're getting off and you're just going to stop by, say hello to our folks and have a good time right there at McDonald's on Northside and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we got to get out of the way here. Before we do, just a quick injury update for the Falcons.
So what's up? What's up with Kyle Pitts and his toe?
Well, he was limited today, but I'm more concerned, Mike, with, again, you start looking at the guys that did not participate. A.J. Terrell was one of them. It's Thursday. We feel like he's probably not playing. Mike Ford, corner. So that's another guy that, you know, you talk about the depth at the corner position. He's out, did not participate today with a groin. And then what about Charlie Warner? Because that's a guy you've been talking about with the blocking.
Tight end. Right.
So he didn't participate either today. Those are the ones I'm really concerned about. Pitts was limited, but we saw James Pierce Jr. on the field today. I say we. He was out there, but coach told us yesterday it was a management thing. I wasn't concerned about it. DeMarco Helms was limited as well, and Kyle Pitts with the toe. So I think all those guys, to be honest with you, you can find, they'll play. Casey Washington, obviously, is the concussion still. Mm-hmm. So that he's not going to be a part of this. But Sunday, it's the other guys. And the A.J. Terrell, to me, guys, is the big one. But I feel like we can go beat Carolina without A.J. I just do. What we've got back there in the secondary.
Yeah, the rookie, is it McMillan? Looks pretty good.
Yeah. Now, I'd love to have him because that'd make me even feel better with A.J. out there.
I always butcher the name. Was it Pterodactyl McMillan? T-T-R-A.
Orn.
It's T-T-R-A, right?
Or just Tet.
Tet McMillan.
That's true. That's what they call him, nickname.
It's not a Keanu Peel nickname.
It's not. All right, man, let's get out of the way. Clear our throat. Man, y'all act like brothers would be playing for money in a tournament with us.
You don't know what side actually going to be going on, Carl.
Unbelievable. Your dad just said Orin with wine and cheese. One guy says, are we going to host a backgammon tournament?
I'm just saying.
Hey, man, shout out to our guest today, Mike Griffith, stopped by today. Great conversation about the dogs, Mike. We love having him on, man. We get a different perspective.
Right.
Obviously, our buddy Connor Riley comes on earlier in the week, but no dogs this weekend. Dogs in Alabama next week. It's going to be a huge week. Hey, reminder, tonight we've got the game. Miami at Buffalo, pregame at 7:30, kicks at 8:15. We all like Buffalo to win this game tonight?
Yes. Just a matter of that 11 and a half.
All right.
It's almost but like, again, why are we even debating this? Miami sucks.
They're bad.
I suggest
you take it then.
And if Waddle's out, I mean,
you know it.
Maybe we'll be saying, Day-Day, you are right tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we will. All right, we'll be discussing that. We'll get you ready for the weekend as well. There are some big college games we do need to discuss. Even though Georgia's not playing, there are some big SEC matchups we will get into. And our Friday regulars, man, B-Mac's going to join us tomorrow. We got a lot to get into. We'll go behind enemy lines as well. We'll head to Carolina and find out what their concerns are. So make sure you're here at 2:00. Big O, great job, Day-Day, behind the glass. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, it used to be 300 wins was a lock for the Hall of Fame, but Clayton Kershaw with just 222 will be a first ballot and probably be over 95% because he only got 96 losses and 3,000 strikeouts. And the last 7 or 8 years, he's had a lot of injuries, but this guy's a baller. He's a guy that wants the ball in the big moment, and some of that stuff is just on. Watch lefties go, yeah! And bail out on this guy. Always love watching Kershaw pitch. Just announced Friday is his last regular season start. And however far the Dodgers go, that's going to be it. He's going to retire after the season.
Great, great career. Hey, as my man Trey Young said, Pat Bev, what have you won? Before you start popping off about careers.
What have you won?
And accomplishments. What have you won? Sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth closed because I think this backfired on Pat Beverly. Yeah, he was more animated. Yeah, he dropped some F-bombs. But at the end of the day, Trey Young was like, what have you won? Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You also tell your family. Don't see you in June.
reverse, poop. Draw two, ain't no problem. Right on. Skip again. Yellow. Yellow. Draw four. Reverse, draw fold. You got one more man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.